I had the occasion or opportunity this past week to visit the second graders at Archbishop Leibold Grade School up in Miamisburg. I have a niece that's there, and I had to return a flat Stanley. If you don't know what flat Stanley is, I guess in second grade, about the time they read flat Stanley, flat Stanley's the story of a little boy whose bookshelf, I guess, falls on him and flattens him. That's not a good thing, but it's not all bad, because now flat Stanley can be folded up, put in an envelope, and sent to people. And so they mail out this, they color him, you know, they cut him out and they color him, they fold him up, they put him in an envelope, and they send him to someone whom they want then to take a picture, right, of flat Stanley, wherever he's at, and write a little story, tell what flat Stanley's up to and all that, and then mail them back. And then I guess the kids share those in their grade. When I was living in Rome, I might have gotten three or four flat Stanleys, right? So then you take flat Stanley all over Rome and that type of thing. Well, my niece, she thinks I live in a castle across the road, so she sent me flat Stanley. Yeah, not being the most responsible about those types of things, that was the occasion for returning him in person. So I was a little late on the due date. So anyway, I went up and delivered flat Stanley. And of course, they have a couple days of school left. Teacher says, you know, Father, you mind staying and answering a few questions? Sure, this would be great. You know, and kids, got any questions for Father? You have a dog? No, don't have a dog. How old are you? You tell him your age? You're older than my dad. Hey, good, kid. So, you know, that's the type of questions you get. And, of course, eventually they get around to, so what do you do? Well, I'm a priest. Well, and then she explained he's a priest at the seminary and he teaches. What do you teach? Philosophy. Blank stares, right? And one little girl, she has to ask, what's that? And you explain to them, well, that's when you study how to think. Yeah, blank stares, right? So there's no way even explaining to them. But it was a good time, really. And the thing is that you come away realizing, you know, again, what you always knew, but you come again realizing that they live in a completely different world. The questions that they ask, right? It's a different world of questions, which is fine. And that's the way it's supposed to be, and it's good. And they're pretty straightforward, right? And pretty innocent about it all. And you realize they don't know what to ask me. And I don't know what to tell them altogether or try to explain it on their level. You can find ways to explain things, right? So, for instance, I told them they were wondering how long the seminarians would be in school. And I explained to them, well, after high school and then after college, you could still do 7 years at the seminary, which makes you grade 23. And then they got it. Although that's a bigger number than they even probably count to at that point almost, right? But 23 and they're in second grade. So you can find ways to answer their questions. But they have a different world of questions. I was thinking about that in terms of, even just last night with the terrorist incident in London and the continuing violence and this whole idea that leads to those types of incidences, actions, right, and attitudes. And the question is, what questions must shape their world? What are they trying to answer or think they're answering by pursuing this violence, this destructive path? And I thought about that in terms of what we celebrate today. And the fact is that as baptized Christians, those who live in the Spirit, we're shaped by particular questions. Our whole world, the way we look at the world, the categories we think through, the way we approach concrete situations and challenges, all of that is shaped by the questions we continually ask ourselves day after day as Christians. Is this your will or my will? Is this in keeping with the gospel? Is this charity? Is this love? And in particular, given our gospel today, is this forgiveness? The Lord shapes reality for us. God shapes the world for us in and through the power of the Spirit. And throughout human history, taking into full account the fact that human history is made by human beings, fallen human beings. And so the recourse to violence has always been part of what it means to be human, in a sense. It doesn't have to be, but it is. Since Cain and Abel, we seek, in many instances, to shape the reality around us, the world we live in, to answer the questions we have through violence, through imposing on, through controlling, by one means or another. And it seems, to a certain degree, if we did not do that, society would fall apart. Who were the first responders at that incident last night? Men with guns. How do they respond? They kill the three. Now it's in defense of life, but the fact is, the violence and the answers to violence is violence. And we live in that world. It's a world in which humanity continually seeks to shape the reality that we live in, to construct societies that conform to what we think best. And yet in our gospel and in our first reading, we see that the Lord's idea of reshaping the human world is by a re-enlightening of the human heart. Sends His Spirit upon them, tongues of fire, to cleanse them of the ways in which they have previously approached life, reality, truth, and goodness. And says, now live in the Spirit. The flesh is of no avail, as Paul says. You have to live in the Holy Spirit, which means you have to ask the kind of questions that can only be answered in light of the Holy Spirit. And you have to live that in the world. All tongues were spoken, all understood, heart to heart, what the message of the gospel was. They heard it in their own language. And it did not bring division, but the unity of the church. But they did have to be willing to die to let go, to be purified of the way they usually asked the questions of God, of their Jewish heritage, of the temple, of the Roman conquerors. What questions did they ask about that reality? And now the Lord said, the answers will be found in my Spirit. In our second reading, we hear no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the power of the Spirit. And to say Jesus is Lord means that He shapes the totality of my approach to life. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I approach my material well-being in and through the power of the Spirit. I approach my emotional well-being in and through the power of the Spirit. I approach the conflicts in my life in and through the power of the Spirit. I rest my hope and my joy and my gladness in this life in the power of the Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, what we ask from the Lord on this day is a renewal of that. To pour that into our hearts again, so that in the coming weeks, months, this next year, we actually live deeper in the Spirit, that we ask the right questions day in and day out that invite the Spirit in. If we do that today, then the words of the gospel will be absolutely true of us. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I send you." And by sending us, God reshapes the world.